the lave! Chanukah ba'aleinu l'toyva this evening. What a great opportunity I have to get you in the Chanukah mood. There is 0 days left of shopping for Chanukah, for your favorite Rebbe, for example. No, so this is it. And of course, Parshas Miketz, very often Parshas Miketz is the Parsha. And we're all in a great mood now because I did my stand-up comedy before, so it's going to be a fun shiur. I want to learn with you what I think is a unbelievable idea about Chanukah, but before that, I have to, and I always try to tie it in to our Parsha. Parsha is very, very important. So in this week's Parsha, we see the amazing... It's so hard because the Parshas, these Parshas are so fun. And last night when I was, you know, my usual 12:27, you know, trying to find a good idea, so I was a little sad when I said, oh, it's Miketz, you know, and then you see that there's not a lot of pages left, because I love Sefer Bereishis, it's awesome. And there's so much to talk about, but I want to speak about one idea, which was a chiddush to me, so I'm going to say it over. And he says like this, Yosef meets the brothers, who of course don't know that it's him, and he's playing all these, I don't know, if you don't mind, I'll call them games, and there's back and forth. And one of the things he does, v'yisa masos meos ponof, masos binyam. He gives a bigger portion to Binyamin, seeing what the brothers will do, seeing if they did tshuva. Binyamin, right? Just like Yosef. What are they going to do? Masos binyamin. Mashos kulam chamish yedios. Right? He gets fivefold. And it says, Vayishtu, Vayishakru Imo. They're sitting at the table, scared to death that they're going to die, and they get drunk. I'm sure the wine was, you know, Mahadrim and Mahadrim, but what's going on over here? So Rashi picks up on this. Vayishkru Imo. And they got drunk with it. Umiyom, Shimrachayu, from the day that they sold Yosef, obviously they didn't know who he was, but from the day they sold Yosef, Lo Shasu Yayin. So for all the people that think, so Rashi, for all the people that think and thought that they didn't care, the brothers, that they just sold them and went away, they realized that they did something wrong. They realized, obviously, not only based on the reaction of their father, but they did something horrible. And they realized that there was something that they had to be metakin, and that was sinner. They realized that the Beis HaMikdash is not here today because of brothers hating each other. They maybe realized that we are where we are today, still because sinus chinam. There's a lack of love that we have. And if we don't love our brothers, it means that we don't love Hashem in the ultimate way that we should. Because we don't believe in it. And it means that our love of mitzvahs doesn't mean anything. It means our love of religion doesn't mean anything. It means I truly don't believe that we are the chosen people. That Hashem gave us a tafkid to believe that we're brothers. Many years ago, I had to explain to a very chutzpahdik Shana Aleph guy, we always have one of these, when I was giving my business year, this guy wouldn't let me stop. Anytime. Always, oh, stupid, this is stupid. And then finally, when we get to the laws of ribbis, he couldn't take it anymore. Because see, oh, we're the chosen people. Everybody else you're allowed to give ribbis to. If it was so important, why only the Jews are you not allowed to give ribbis? So I said, you know what? I'm going to be a good Rebbe and tell you, I don't know the answer. And I went to our tzaddik, Rav Machlis, and I said, what do you think? And he gave me the greatest analogy. He said, a Jew has to realize that being chosen is different than we think it is. It means that I realize that I have to take care of the other individual. He said, if your father came to you and asked you for a loan, would you go up and say to your father, Dad, I can't believe that you're asking me. It's so it must be so embarrassing for you to have to ask me for a loan. And you know what, Dad? I feel bad also. I'm only going to charge you 5%. The banks are charging 7. I'll learn. Would you, what? No, you would say, Dad, this is the biggest honor. I finally can give back to you. He goes, well, everybody Jew that asks you is like a brother to you. Says Rashi, Oso Hayom, that day, Shasu. Why? Why was it all of a sudden mutter for them to drink? This is based on the Medrash. Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chavtes says that why does it say it's superfluous? They drank with him. What does that mean? They finally got it. They finally realized that they weren't jealous that Binyamin was getting the higher portion. And therefore what? Therefore they said to themselves, there's no issue. There's a sefer called the Kav Chaim. Kav Chaim, excuse me, Kav Chaim. It was written by Rav Noach ben Shmuel Mikarov. He was a Talmud Muvhak of the Chozim Lublin, one of the last Talmidim of his. Now, the sefer was actually written in Breslov, but I don't think it has anything to do with it. And there he says, they saw that they corrected their sin. They saw that what they did in, of course, Binyamin, and that it didn't bother them, they didn't hate him in their heart, they had great simcha. Maybe a little bit too much simcha. And we know that Yayin Yismach Levav. It's interesting because I actually found the sefer, amazingly, the amazing website on, what's it called? Svarim, right? What's the website? Not Svaria. The other one. Merkava? The one that has all the, what's it called?
Merkava?
No.
All the Hebrewbooks.com?
Hebrewbooks, thank you. Hebrewbooks.com. I have to give them credit because they're such an amazing organization. And here, he writes like this, the Kavachim says, so how can it be? The Yomer B'Midrash, Miyom, Shemifurish Yoshev Mihem, Lo Shasu Yaya, V'dara Plia, that now they're getting drunk? Why Yayin? So he says, we all know, the Adam Ka'asher Roitze, Lashuv Michetaso, he has to do Tshuva Shlema, and then you have to be, according to the Rambam, in the exact same space. So they felt, they literally were in the same space. They didn't know it was Yosef. But with Binyamin, it was the closest thing. And they didn't get jealous? Yes, that's just simcha. Now we understood what it means to be metaking the mitzvah. And that's why they say, Avala Shemer Menachnu. Indeed, we realized we did something wrong. But now, Yosef, we fixed it. We were metaking there. And that's why they stopped themselves, because they said, we can't be happy, the Olam Hazeh, because we did something terrible. We don't have true joy if we don't love our brother. And therefore, they realized they did something wrong, and he writes, they were machzir b'tshuva. And it was at this point that they were so excited, because when the Masas Binyamin came, they realized that they didn't bother them. And this was a tremendous thing. The holiday of Hanukkah, Yirtzeh Hashem, upon us in a few hours, at its core is probably the most interesting of all of the Goliaths that we've had. Because Yavon did not want to annihilate us. Purim laharog la'abed is the savior of all, and therefore there's a chiyuv whenever we have this, where there's a chiyuv of suda, there's a chiyuv, right? Ad lo yada. We take that yayin, we have a tremendous simcha. There's a simcha, there's an inyun of simcha. Dafkas or of salvation says, by the suda itself, there's a. Here that we don't have that. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, they're not even sure, you know, is it a suda mitzvah even? If you have a Chanukah party, it's okay if you have it with. You know, and you have shiras and shmachas, you tell over divrei Torah, okay, it becomes a suda mitzvah. At the core, at the foundation of Yavon, was the smartest nation that ever lived in terms of trying to get to the Jews. Because they put their arms around the Jews and they said, hey, we don't have any problems with you. Religion is a important thing. Serving, davening, great. But there was only one thing that bothered them to no end. You know what bothered them to no end? Their connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The fact that they believed they v'ilanu menatoyim. And that's why they took away Chodesh and Shabbos and Milah. Because those things don't make any sense. It shows a bris that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom. A great simcha that we're with the Rabbeinu Shalom no matter what. Chodesh is so different than any other nation. Chodesh is machadesh that wax and wanes. Things are up, things are down, but I have a simcha knowing the Rebbeinu Shalom is always with me. And of course, Shabbos, no matter what's going on in your life, you know, when 420 comes, there's nothing you can do. One of the hardest Fridays ever is this Friday. Because you got to get everything in before the time, and it normally never works out. Isn't it interesting? The Yavanim did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What did they do? Timu es Hashmanim. They were Matame. Why don't you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? We're told that they did an act to show their distaste with the Beis HaMikdash. It says in Tamid, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Bet, Yud Gimel, Hishtachavos, was keneged the 13 pitzot that they did. On one of the walls, they broke it 13 times to show their distaste with the Beis HaMikdash. But they didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't take all the waters, all the oil, and throw it in the river. No. And another thing the Medrash tells us, which is so strange, Choshech al Pnei Tohom, Medrash and Bereshis. You know, the Choshech was like the Choshech of the time of the Yavanim. The Yavanim brought Choshech to the world, that's why we light up with candles. And they had this strange thing, they told the Jews, Ksu lachem al Keren Hashor, Ein lachem chelek ve'elokei Yisrael. You can stay from. Put your phylacteries on, great. But I want you to write al Keren Hashor, Ein chelek ve'elokei Yisrael. What are you basically saying? I'm not chosen. I could serve God. Really, most Christians don't have a problem so much with us serving God. Just don't believe that you're chosen. If you tell them that you're not chosen, you believe that now, you know, Jesus came and that's okay. That's not as bad then. Yes, yes, convert us, many believe. Okay, fine. So comes Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss says, I have two questions. Let's answer the Keren Hashor thing. And let's answer what's unique about 13. Right? And maybe we'll add one. Why did they not destroy the Beis HaMikdash and Timu as a Shmanim? So that end of the Mishnah in Tamid says that Yud Gimel Hishtachavos, when they rededicated themselves and rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, they instituted 13 times where the Kohanim would bow to remember the 13 times that they broke the wall by the Mikdash. But the Greeks, in their essence, were very, very smart. Smart, literally. They brought democracy, they brought literature, right? Art, all these amazing things to the world. The Olympics, maybe. I don't know if he thinks that's amazing. They weren't brutal like the other nations were to the Jews. They admired the Jews. They had one problem with the Jews. You're not the chosen Esau. You're not Hivdilan Menatayim. Rav Asher Weiss quotes a midrash that says, the shor hu rosh kol har korbanot. The number one korban we bring is a shor. You know why? So it gives the following mashal. The advisors of the king come to the king and say, we have some bad news for you. The queen is unfaithful to you. And therefore, you must kill her. So he says, she's my queen. She's my love. I got to investigate this myself. And he goes and he investigates it and he says, Baruch Hashem. It's not true. It's not true. You were wrong. Says the Medrash, after Cheta Egel, which of course was done with an Egel, with a shor, Rabbanu Shalom says, no, it's not true. Bnei Yisrael made a mistake, but they got up again. Yosef's brothers made a mistake, and they got up again. And they said, we realized what we did was wrong, and they had a tremendous simcha, because now they could do Avodas Hashem in the appropriate way. Therefore, the ox is the korban of all korbanos. In some way, shape, or form, the Yavanim realized this. And they say, take dafka the ox, the Rosh are Korbanos, and you can bring Korban, I don't care. But write on it, and it says that they brought Korbanos during this time, but write on it, Ein lecha chelek l'kei Yisrael. Just tell us that you're not the chosen nation, then do whatever you want, I don't care. Don't do this Mila stuff, because you're not chosen, there's no bris between you and God. Stop it. Shabbos, you stop all your work of the week, and stop. Chodesh, waxing and waning, don't worry, things are good. Nah. Says Rav Asher Weiss, 13 is our magic number. Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidreshos Bahem. The Gemara tells us, Gemara Gittin Daf Samach, that Lo Kara Bris Im Am Yisrael, the Rabbeinu Shalom's ultimate covenant, is the Bris Al Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what keeps us going. Without that, that's who we are. And of course, Yud Gimel reminds us of Yud Gimel Midos. Hashem, Hashem, Kalrachim V'chanun. Hashem, let us return from that Chet HaEgel. And made the Korban, being the short, said, no, return to me with this secret formula that I've taught you. And yes, the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikarim, where the Rambam himself writes that this is not for Ben Noach. They don't have to have the same 13 principles of faith. Only for Jews. And yes, ultimately, the Pasuk of all Pesukim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Pasuk Nebuch Lo Aleinu, that so many went to the gas chamber saying, and Roy Klein, who my son is named for, jumped on a grenade and said a Shema Yisrael, and I met the guy who was there. He was on my trip a few weeks ago. It was the most amazing. It's one of these type of things where you just hear his story, and I went to hug him afterwards, and I said, excuse me, and it was in front of everyone. I said, I have to say something. I said, my son is named for Roy Klein. I was talking about Roy Klein and how Roy Klein made this guy who he is today. I don't know if he wasn't so religious. Or he says, when he jumped on that grenade, he says, I mean, he's my chavrusa. We decided that before Shacharis, at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, we're going to learn. He says, Daniel, I never came into the Beis Medrash. Even if I came at 4:55, he was in the Beis Medrash. I don't know if he slept at all. He was the most amazing person. But that's Shema Yisrael, the soldiers that were there, who, even the non-religious, said, I never heard of Shema Yisrael. Echad is Gematria of 13. And yes, 13 is the Bar Mitzvah, because it's amazing. So Rosh Hashanah, I said something which you probably, of course, know, that he never knew. Nebuch, his wife, was very sick. She had passed away. He spent a lot of time in America, Sloan Kettering Hospital. And he noticed, for some reason, when you get in the elevator, there's no 13th floor. Right? And you go to any skyscraper, there's no 13th floor. He says, what's going on? So he says, he asked somebody, and they said, 13's it's a bad number. That. He says, yeah, because it's our number. He says, it's hard to believe the Yevanim knew this. But obviously, the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted to teach us a very important lesson. He said, wouldn't you believe it? Rashi says in Vizos Abracha, Matzis Yo, Koyin Gadol Chashmonai. It was him and his sons. How many sons did he have? 13. 13. The breach of the wall, we are told, Ramami Pano, Toisvus, Yontov says this, the Gra says this, his Perish on Mishnah and Midois, says, you know what? You know where the breach was? You're not going to believe this, he says. The breach was the Soreg wall. It wasn't even it was a flimsy wall. What was the Soregs? Ramami Panra says, you know what it was? It was this outer wall, not even farther away than the right before the Azara. And there was a sign, right? Lo aleinu, but the signs that we see sometimes when we're on streets that say, no Jews pass this point in the country that we own. Right, Palestinian area says, don't go here. And they could walk around and do whatever they want where they are, but we're not allowed to. It said, no goyim past this point. Past this point, you could bring your kabanos, basi fellow cholo amim, but not past the azar at this point, the sore. That's where they put the pritza in, because that bothered them. They weren't trying to destroy everything. They didn't try to destroy the base. Timo Hashmanim, you know why? They wanted to show your Shem is not important. And that was the great miracle of finding a Pach Shemin that was Tahor. Because it reminds us, we know the whole mitzvah, this is an amazing thing. This is one of those mitzvahs that the majority of Jewry, not religious Jewry, lights candles. It would be hard pressed if you find the most reformed Jew, he's still going to light tomorrow night two candles. Why doesn't he just light one candle? That's the mitzvah. Why does everybody do Mahadran and a Mahadran? Because really at the core is this understanding of saying, that's how we do mitzvahs, but it's slavos. We learn from our mistakes like Yosef in our parsha teaches us. His brother said, we didn't get it. We didn't get the love of mitzvahs. We should have stopped for a moment before we indicted and convicted our brother and said, maybe this is not the most appropriate way. The smart Yevanim wanted to take away simcha from us. They wanted to take away what mitzvahs are all about, a connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Because we are the Am HaNivchar, because we are on a level where we have so much more to do. Chosen doesn't mean we're not number one and everybody else. No. It means that Rabbeinu Shalom gave us a very hard job to do. You want to call it an Or Lagayim? L'takein Olam b'malchut Shakai. Yes. But we have to do it with Simcha. That's what we missed. The Gemara in Tanas and Daf Chavtes says that Yuvanim took away the Mizbeach, the wood for the Mizbeach. They said, you can bring your own wood, but nobody's allowed to bring it. And no Bikurim. Why? So Rabbi Bitterman answers, because those were the top, the Gemara says this, the top Simcha oriented mitzvahs. We know about Bikurim. Such simcha. It says, lo achalti be'oni mimenu. You weren't allowed to bring it up if you were an one. It had to be done b'simcha. The same parashah Kisavu, it says that we didn't serve Hashem b'simcha b'tuv levav merov ko. That's the ikar. It's a curse that we don't serve Hashem with simcha. The Shem Yishmuel says that during the times of Chanukah, they brought korbanos, but without simcha. Yevanim were smart. They took away the simcha of our mitzvah. It was a nothing. We have to rededicate ourselves to simcha with joy. That's why maybe the Gemara says, Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Gimel, famously, it's quoted, I learned it just this morning, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah quotes, based on the Shulchan Aruch, HaRogil Boner, Hayu Banav Shetamid Yechacham. So the Miri says, hi, I know some people who are really careful with their candles, but their kids are not Tamid Yechacham. Present company excluded, obviously. So how can it be? The answer is very simple, Rabbi Yisai. It's not stam doing the hadlaka. It's not stam going out to Yesh and seeing, you know, obviously we have to buy pre-made oil. Like, we can't put the oil in our cell. Like, what, do we have time on our hands? No. So we have to buy the pre-made oil, and there's three different ones. One's 29, one's 39, one's 5. Hey, I'm going to buy the one that's 69. Or I'm not going to go to Yesh that has good prices, right? I'm going to go to, I don't want to make fun of any stores, but I'm going to go to Best, and I'm going to buy the same one that's 69 for 109. And then I'm, no, it's not a game. Zarin Barner means there's a simcha. They tell these stories about great tzaddikim who for 30 minutes would just stand by the candles. They tell a story about Chaim Oizer. It's not a Hasidic story. He needed something to be, his button fell off. He couldn't do it himself. So he said, excuse me, he was traveling, I think. He was traveling. He was in Krakow. And he said to the tailor, can you quickly do my button? He says, listen, I didn't light Hanukkah candles yet. He said, okay, I'll wait. He's like, are you sure you want to wait? He's like, yeah. How long does it take to light Hanukkah candles? 38 seconds, 48 seconds. An hour later, it comes down. He says, did something happen? He says, no. Harogil baner. I have achanas. I say Tehillim after. I said, that's simcha. That's simcha. We don't just stop doing mitzvah. That's what the Yevanim wanted to take away from us. They wanted us to be checklist Jews. Just do the mitzvahs. If anything should happen to you this year, and maybe didn't happen last year, is that you should spend more time understanding why you do things so they are meaningful to you. Minyan is not meaningful to many people because they think it's a checklist thing. And I prove this to you because so many people during COVID, not so many people, I hope, but some people try to find ways around avoiding what the laws of the land were to say, I need to daven in a minyan. That means you don't understand what davening is. There are certain times where Rabbeinu Shalom says, don't daven in a minyan now. Just like the Rabbeinu Shalom understands the rabbis in infinite wisdom, when someone's an onane, they don't put tefillin in them. I was actually discussing with my kids last night. They could not understand this. They said, what? Just happened to come up. We were doing the Rav Zilberstein questions and talked about an onane who can't light. I said, you can't say, okay, but if he eats something, you say bracha. No, no brachas. Why? Because he's not besimcha. I don't want your, I understand you're mad at me, but there's questions in this. The brothers of Yosef got drunk with simcha because they finally were metaking what they did wrong.
They did tshuva on it. The full tshuva, according to the Rambam. That's what this holiday is all about. Bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh. I remember last year on the first night making this bracha. I remember it well because there were tears in my eyes. Because it was COVID and people had died. And I said, I'm happy to be here. But do I get it? Do I make my kids, let's spend a few minutes, guys. Come on, next to the candles. Concentrate on it. Bringing light. How do I bring light into the world? How do I take Yavon out of my life? How do I not do my mitzvahs with simcha? It's like the student that came to me and says, you know, Rebbe, minyan means nothing to me. I said, before I ask you any question, what time do you go to sleep at night? 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, okay. So that's your reason why minyan is never going to mean anything to you. Not nice what I'm about to say, but I have a child who decided to watch Thanksgiving football, which is not the same time as that. So he went to sleep very late. So when he woke up on Friday morning, he put his Cheerios in a bowl and filled it up with a heaping portion of orange juice because he was half asleep. Oh, I was upset. I bought the Cheerios from America, my son, and the orange juice in Israel is very expensive. What kind of voice are you going to have if you go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning? This is a holiday we're supposed to bring ore into the world. Should be zeicha that we understand these messages, because if we do, Rabbanu Shalom will not only give us the bracha that our children will be Talmidei Chachamim, but he'll give us the bracha of rebuilding, of taking those breaches away and bringing the Bayis Shlishi. We should be zeicha to be ready for it and have the great simcha of seeing binyana b'meheiru v'yameinu. Amen.